This morning's reading is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. Jesus' teaching on prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "Whenever you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone else who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we begin today on a short series about the Lord's Prayer. And I get the first week. So Jesus gave us this prayer in response to the disciples' request, "Lord, teach us to pray." In fact, Jesus gave this prayer twice, once recorded here in Luke and again in Matthew. Are we up with the slides, Sal? Or have I pressed the wrong button? Never mind, they'll catch up. So the Lord's Prayer was given to show the disciples how to pray. Not just how to pray a prayer, not just the prayer that the only prayer they should pray, but it's how they should pray, how they should go about praying, not just the words. The Lord's Prayer is a model prayer that is to be prayed through. There's a difference between saying the Lord's Prayer and praying the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is, I think, and I'm guilty of this as much as anyone else, very often mindlessly repeated rather than prayed. And I think even in church here, when we introduce it, we say, "Let's say together the Lord's Prayer." Perhaps we ought to be saying, "Let's pray together the Lord's Prayer." But it's particularly ironic that because of the context in which this is set in the Matthew version, and it warns against the dangers of meaningless repetition. So in this command, Jesus wants us to understand two things. First, he does not want us to repeat any prayer again and again and again. By that I mean just repeating it ad nauseum. There's a difference between too much talking and much praying. Secondly, he wants us to know that God does not hear us based on the length of our prayers. Elmer Towns, a well-known writer, says, "The effective prayer is not measured by how loud you pray or how long you pray, or even if you say the words of the Lord's Prayer again and again in a repetitious fashion. Your prayer life will be effective if you are sincere and you ask the right things." Before I go on, I think I'd better make a confession. I was very lucky to have a very wonderful father, and here was a picture of my dad and me, but we're not going to get it, I don't think. But his name was Graham, and I shared earlier. I could have said gorgeous Graham, because he was gorgeous. I could have said he was a lot of things, but I said gracious, because he was gracious. He gave so much of himself to his family, to his friends, to his church, and to God. And I was very lucky to have so many great experiences in a stable and loving family, with my mum and my three brothers. although not always quite so loving with the three brothers. So I find it very easy to relate to to relate to a loving God and Father. Oh, that, what a lovely wife I've got. Thank you, love. Singing those lovely songs, I just love them. I can't stop myself singing. We're up, right. There's gorgeous Graham. Gracious Graham. Peas in a pod. One Christmas, we both turned up with the same jumper, but... Where are we? Right. But I know that some people, including many people here maybe, will not have had that sort of upbringing and may have had a difficult or even non-existent relationship with their father and may have difficulties in this Father-God relationship. So when we pray, Our Father in Heaven, for some people that immediately causes a problem. But hang on in there. Our Father God is like nothing we experience here on earth. He is the creator of all things, sovereign over the universe, the beginning and the end of everything. We must not ascribe to God the same, the God the Father, the same weaknesses, failings, and inconsistencies that we may have seen in our earthly fathers. He is so far from being either a malevolent beast or a good dad. For any of us, it is to truly comprehend how wonderful, good, and loving he is. This is a situation which is widespread, where people don't have that Father-God relationship. I don't think I'm the only one to begin my prayers by rushing into a series of petitions in which I pour out to God my problems, my needs, my irritations, and ask for this or that. This only reinforces the focus of our attention on us and what is troubling us and our inability to remedy it, rather than reestablishing our relationship with God and then asking him to help us with our needs. It could be that this is the reason why we are more depressed and frustrated after we pray than before. Author Alan Redpath sums up how many feel when we have prayed. When we have finished our praying, we can scarcely bring ourselves to believe that our feeble words can have been heard, or that they can have made a difference in the things concerning which we have been praying. We've said our prayers, but we have not prayed. Over the next few weeks, we will examine the Lord's Prayer as a pattern for our prayers. We will attempt to understand it by separating it into individual thoughts and examining them one at a time. It's our hope that the insights that are gained will, if we let them, transform our prayer lives as we begin with new confidence and effectiveness. As I said, the Lord's Prayer is a pattern, and many people use acrostics like ACTS or TSP. But the Lord's Prayer contains four main parts. We should praise God. We should pray for his work in the world. We should pray for our daily needs, and we should pray for help in our daily struggles. Each one of those is taken from that Lord's Prayer. And today, we have the first section, Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name. It's not we would just say those words. We've got to believe that he is our Father, and we should relate to him as Father, but acknowledge that he is Father in heaven. Jesus stated that the importance of starting our prayers with a the awareness that God is our Father, is this dramatic teaching that Jesus gave. The word that Jesus used for Father was not a formal word. It was the common Aramaic word with which a child would address his father, the word Abba. Of course, everyone used the word Abba then, but no one, under any circumstances, would have used it in connection with God. Abba meant something like daddy, but with a slightly more reverent touch than we use it today. It meant something perhaps like dearest father. The fact that God is our dearest father is to be the core basis of our prayer life. Paul tells us in Galatians 4, verse 6, "And because you are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. He is the Holy Spirit. By his power, we call God Abba." Abba means Father. Wrapped up in the expression, "our Father," was a new dimension of relationship with God. The same intimacy that exists between a child and their father is to exist between them and God. The beginning of effective prayer is the recognition that God possesses a father's heart, a father's love, a father's strength, and a father's concern for the best interests of his children. It is impossible to come to God as our Father unless we're born into his family through faith in Jesus Christ. It's for this reason that this prayer is often called the family prayer, because it's based on a relationship with God through faith in Christ and can only be uttered by those who are in the family. The father-child relationship helps us to understand the richness of our spiritual heritage. First, it provides us with a profound sense of being loved. A missionary to a remote tribe in Nigeria relates the salvation experience of one of the local natives. When he revealed the awesomeness of this new experience with God, he said, "Behind this universe stands one God, not a great number of warring spirits, as we always believed, but one God, and that God loves me." I believe that we should all share in the wonder that this man felt, that the God of the universe loves us. It is through this sense of being loved that we can come truly to understand forgiveness and the wholeness that comes through from being loved and forgiven. The Jewish society to which Jesus spoke thought of God as distant and unapproachable in his holiness. Now to be taught that God was the dearest Father was amazingly revolutionary. Conversely, a problem that many people face today is reversed, that they have so sentimentalized God that they have robbed him of his holiness, of his majesty, of his kingship. They approach God with flippant familiarity. Jesus provides the remedy for both errors with his opening words, "Our Father in heaven." Our Father stresses God's presence. He is involved in life and is to be intimately approached as Abba. "In heaven" stresses God's transcendence. He surpasses all that is human. He is sovereign and reigning. In a word, he is Father and our King. And then there's that second line, "Hallowed be your name." That word, "hallowed," has always concerned me because it's not a word we normally use, and it's a bit of a barrier to understanding the rest of the prayer. Dictionary meanings are consecrated, sacred, deified, make holy, respected. So God's name and person can be accepted and honoured in the world. That works better for me. And the name of God the Father, well, I won't go into that now because this is exclusive. We're having a whole series about the name of God in October, so more of that to come. But this whole prayer, you might think, it's a very stilted pattern. It's been around for ages. We've all said it time after time. Many of us have said it hundreds of thousands of times. Some people, maybe it's new to you. But the translations are so interesting in the different translations of the Bible that we've got. This one is from the Message version. Father, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. That might be good for you. Rob Lacey wrote a Bible translation called the Street Bible, and his version of the prayer from Luke says, God in heaven, you're our dad. We respect everything you stand for. We want others too. So those first 2 lines, can we relate to that better? God in heaven, you're our dad. We respect everything you stand for. We want others too. Isn't that something to take away today? We need to live that relationship with Father God. And hold him in that sort of informal awe, acknowledging his greatness and his wonder. We want that fathering Father God in heaven to be someone who is relatable, someone who's relevant, not just to us, but to those around us. And that's our prayer for today, my prayer for today, that we would all be able to come peacefully to him, prayerfully to him, honour him in our lives and in our prayer lives. And then our lives will be richer, more fulfilled, and more Christ-centered. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, may your Spirit lift us up. May we know you as Father God, majestic, all-powerful, and yet, our dad. Bless us, Lord, as we go from here. May we know you afresh. And may we walk with you daily. In Jesus' name, amen.